Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. Hello! How are you? How is your August going? I am officially done with baseball for the season. My boys are still umpiring and they're umpiring together this weekend, which is super cute and great. And I'll probably sneak in and watch them because what else would I be doing? But we wrapped up the last tournament in Bettendorf this past weekend. And as much as I am sad to see it go, I'm also excited to see and welcome in a new season of sports, a new school year, and all of the opportunities that come along with it. I did want to start the show by just thanking you, each and every one of you, for listening. I truly believe that right now, more than ever, it is important that we increase the GDP, not only for our country, but for our homes. I believe that the single best thing we can do to do that is to raise the standard of our own productivity, to stop tolerating indifference and apathy, to stop making excuses, to demand a higher level of excellence from ourselves. Everything that we do in being a wife, in being a mother, in being a husband or a father, in the work that we do, no matter what it is, in being a member of our teams, our communities, and our churches. It also means to demand more of who it is that we are. And I know there are some people that just don't like the word demand. It seems forced, and I get it. And please replace it if need be, but let's not replace the importance of the responsibility. We have been in these times before historically, so this is not an opinion piece. We either rise up in these times or we fall behind. And here's what I know. If you are listening to this, you are probably working on self-improvement. Personal development is something that you probably prioritize, something that is important to you because you know it is far bigger than producing a better human. It is bigger than our homes, our communities. The ripple effect it has on all of humanity is massive. Here's what else I know. If you are listening to this, you probably are the ones that people look to lead, to support, to inspire, to be that beacon of hope, right, in these times. And sometimes I feel like you're the only one. And it can be exhausting and it can be frustrating and it can be really easy to make excuses, to tolerate. I mean, no one would blame you. And this is when we have to dig deep and we have to identify with our character. This is when we have to remember that our humanness and how we show up is our responsibility, despite how everyone else might be showing up. This humanness is what I wanted to talk to you about today. As you know, I love to learn about all things having to do with human potential and psychology and neuroscience and metaphysics. I love learning from the greatest mentors and coaches in this space. And one of the concepts that I have learned is this one about the 50-50. And I learned this, I think the first person that I had heard it from was Brooke Castillo. And this 50-50 is a concept that reminds us of the human experience and the 50-50 of it, meaning that half of your life, there will be negative emotion, and the other half, there will be positive emotion. And this is a beautiful thing. Other thought leaders offer up the concept of progress and struggle. We are either progressing or we're struggling. And this too is a beautiful thing. The goal, my friends, is not to be happy all of the time. It isn't. And I wish I had known this decades ago. I probably wouldn't have done everything in my power to not feel. But then again, had I not gone through these decades escaping, running, buffering, I would not have this to share with you today. So this is what I've come to know about feelings. We give lots of lip service to feeling your feelings. And yet, for so many, we don't know what that means. I find that we do one of three things with our feelings. We either repress, we react, or we revel, or all three. Guilty. So what does that mean? What does that even look like? So I'll share kind of what it looked like for me, and then I want you to explore ways in which perhaps you're reacting to your emotions, you're repressing your emotions, or you're reveling in them. So let's start with repress. Repress looks like avoiding. It looks like pretending. Repressing feelings looks like me running hundreds of miles to not feel. Although I had no idea this is what I was doing, at least not consciously. Repressing looks like me spending money in hopes that this new thing must be the thing that makes me happy. That thing that gets me out of my funk, that gets appreciated, that gets noticed, that makes me happy. Repressing looks like me being busy. If I was busy, there was no time to feel, as if feeling was bad. I basically neglected 50% of my life's existence because I was trying to outrun feelings, running my shoes, running my credit card, running my life so full that there was no time, there was no energy, there was no joy to actually live it to the fullest. Repressing looks like pretending. It looks like finding your life away. It looks like this. When someone asks you how you are and you say, I'm fine, when you are anything but fine. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that you reveal your deepest, darkest secrets to the grocery clerk. I'm suggesting authentic honesty and transparency with the people in your tribe, the people that are closest to you. Do they know what you worry about? Do they know your biggest fears? Do they know what hardens your heart? Do they know how quick unworthy sneaks in? Do they know that if you started crying, you might not be able to stop? Do they know how certain people intimidate you? More importantly, do you know? When was the last time you had these conversations with your friends and family and the people that you want to do this life with? When was the last time you had these conversations with yourself? Or are we talking about gas prices and food prices and the economy and the political landscape? Are we talking about how people are just lazy, not doing their jobs? They're not doing what is expected. And how people are just so different after the pandemic, apathetic, indifferent. What I find is people are talking way more about the latter than the former. Actually, I rarely hear people talking about their feelings. And you will know whether or not you are repressing your feelings or pretending when it isn't against your will. That's how you'll know. The next thing we do with our feelings is we react. And I say this a lot. Emotions are indicators. They're not dictators. But yet so often we use our emotions as a weapon to react. So the question is, how often do you find yourself reacting to your feelings? I know for me, this looks like getting defensive when I feel wronged. It looks like acting out my frustration, however that might look. It might be to avoid. It might be to shut down. It might be to ignore, or it might be to get mad and to raise my voice. It might be in reacting by way of other people's emotions. If my kids are mad, then I get mad. When my husband is frustrated, I get frustrated that he's frustrated. When my kid is worried, I get worried. We make assumptions about why someone did what they did or what they didn't do. And all too often, we make assumptions not in their favor. Meaning, we're not giving them the benefit of the doubt. And when we do that, we impart ill will. And if we're not on to ourselves, we will react on a feeling that is not even necessary because it was unfounded. Do you see this? The next thing I see us do with emotions is to revel in them, indulge. We act as if we are depression or anxiety, as opposed to the energetic human body experiencing the emotion. We assume it as an identity. I am depressed. I am anxious, as opposed to someone who is feeling depressed, feeling anxious. And when we become our feelings, it's really hard to get leverage over them. It is really hard to feel them because they have been internalized into our identities. Think about smokers. One of the hardest parts about quitting smoking is to stop identifying as a smoker. When we can stop identifying as something we might not necessarily want for our life, we can re-identify as someone we do. We can become the observer of the emotion, not the emotion. We can acknowledge that humans have these emotions and not double down on the emotion, making it worse. I see this all the time. We get anxious that we're anxious. We get depressed that we're depressed. We get frustrated that we're frustrated, as if the emotion itself wasn't enough to process. We layer on this hefty dose of shame on the top of it. What would happen if we didn't repress it? Friends, there are never going to be enough miles, enough spending, and enough busy work to avoid emotions. And here's what else I know. Just because we pretend we don't feel doesn't mean it's not there. Unfelt feelings fester, and boy, do they ever. What would happen if we didn't assume the emotion's identity as a state of being, as something that has power over us versus us having power over it? We would be left to feel the emotion. And that is what I want to spend the rest of the show talking about, feeling feelings. So many people say that, but how? We were not taught this. What would it look like? It would look like this. You first recognize the feeling and you name it. Naming it allows us to disassociate from it. Naming it out as the emotion. It is not the emotion that you are. Then you acknowledge that it is a feeling that you are generating because of your thoughts. And as a human being, you are supposed to have thoughts that leave you feeling good and awesome and wholesome, and thoughts that leave you disappointed, frustrated, and angry. And once you have acknowledged that it is a feeling from a thought, you process it. You feel it. Where do you feel it in your body? What does it feel like? And once you know its name and the cause and where it is in your body, the emotion lessens. It just does. As you allow yourself to breathe into the space, it lightens. And we are reminded that this feeling, frustration, resentment, anger, is actually not that bad. We are reminded that we can do a little anger. We can do a little anxious. We can do a little depressed today, knowing that we know its name. We know where it's hiding. The emotion is no longer a stranger to us. It only seems like a stranger because most of us are not well versed in feeling. We have been hiding from our feelings for a really long time. And what comes up for most of us when we know this work is that we are super quick to get to a new thought. But sometimes I find a new thought isn't even required when we can process the emotion through from the old thought. What also happens when we start to wrap R period, A period, P period, recognize and acknowledge and process, is that we are so out of tune with our emotions that we don't know how to name them. We can't find them, and we feel like we're doing it wrong. And so first, there is no such thing. You can't feel your feelings wrong. And secondly, it is a practice. And I'm guessing for most of us, we are just out of practice. We have been ignoring ourselves, so many of us, and our feelings for probably quite some time. So we have to be kind when we call it out. We have to be patient when we are trying to find it. And we have to be compassionate when we try to process it, meaning we can't rush it. This is not being kind or patient or compassionate. Maybe we have to do a little worry today. Maybe we have to do a little frustration today, and that's okay. The hardest part about having your emotion tag along with you is to not take it out on the people around you. That is the hardest part. And when we do that, that is not feeling. That is reacting. And I promise you, it makes the situation much, much worse. So if happy isn't the goal, what is it? I think it's embracing our humanity, all of it, the good, the bad, and the messy. I don't believe we are supposed to operate as robots, perfectly responding, perfectly performing. Life is meant to be lived, which means that there will be progress. There will be struggle. Can you embrace all of who it is that you are? Accepting you for the amazing, awesome, wonderful human being you are, while also embracing your mess. And when you can navigate to the grace that is required for that coherence, when you live fully and fearlessly into the life that is yours to live, into not finding it away, not buffering it away, but truly live, that is better than happy. That is truly embracing your entire essence. But so many of us are caught in the not wanting to feel our feelings trap. So we sweep them under the rug, or we avoid them, repress them, revel in them. If you think about it, we are conditioned to not want to feel. Think about it. Everything that we do is to feel a certain way or to not feel a certain way. So if we're supposed to feel this way and we don't, we'll pretend that we're fine. And if we're not supposed to feel that way, then we can repress it along with our pretending. And in an attempt to not feel it, we escape it. with what I'll offer up, things that will most likely make the feelings much, much worse, because they don't go away when you run 100 miles, I promise you. They don't go away when you run up your credit card. They don't run away when you overbusy yourself. Those feelings are still there. So I hope the next time that you have a negative emotion, you'll just wrap it for me. You will recognize it by naming the emotion. And I joke with my husband because he thinks he has three emotions. He's good, not good, or neutral. And I tease him and just tell him that he just doesn't have a big enough vocabulary. Whatever your vocabulary is, can you expand it? Can you reach for some bigger words, some secondary emotions? And I know there is a feeling wheel out there to download. You can access it on Google. And can you explore what these different emotions are and name them? Because I promise you, when you name them, you take away their power. Will you acknowledge that is from a thought, a vibration in the body created by your thinking brain? And you will process it through lovingly and kindly. And you wrap it. When you wrap it, it softens, it lightens, and it doesn't feel so heavy. It doesn't feel like anything that you need to resist. It doesn't feel like anything that you have to find a way. It doesn't feel like anything that you have to repress or react to or indulge in. It feels like a feeling that needs to be felt and taken care of. Just if it was your child's feeling or your friend's feeling, you wouldn't dismiss it. You wouldn't tell her just to get over it, to just be fine. You wouldn't tell her to pretend to be fine. You also wouldn't question how long it's going to take for her to get through this. If you were sitting with your child or a friend over coffee and she brought this worry, this frustration, this anger to you, you wouldn't tell her to get over it. You wouldn't ask her, well, how long are you going to be angry? You would just allow her to have it. Can you do the same with yourself? Can you take your emotion with you and just allow some space for it? And if you need help with the wrap, I would invite you to join Becoming. This is the work that we do there every single month. Every month, I teach you a new personal development topic. And I promise you, friends, it all comes back to feelings. So whether or not you want to feel, whether or not you think feeling is soft and fluffy and light, I promise you, it is everything. Every feeling you have is why you take the action you take or you do not. It literally determines whether you make progress in your life, whether you have momentum, whether you have motivation, whether you show up in confidence. I'm telling you, we break down this topic, which inevitably will always come back to what it is that we're thinking about, what it is that we're feeling, and how it is that we're showing up in our life. And we break it down workshop style, and we do amazing coaching on it. And just like you practice your sport, we have to practice the skill of feeling and thinking and becoming the very best version of ourselves. And we do this together in Becoming. So if you're not in there yet, let's go. I'd love to have you in there. We would love to have you in there. Okay, lastly, before I let you go, I am so excited to share with you our upcoming mastermind. We have been working so hard to make sure that it is amazing and it is transformational. And what I know about personal development, psychology, and human potential is that it can't be optimized if it is cluttered. Now, I'm not only talking about the physical clutter, but that can be a source of frustration and stress and time. Think about all the time we spend looking for things and all the shame and frustration when we can't find something because we haven't clarified how we want to live in our space and cleared the clutter in the space and organized it. Probably one of the biggest struggles I coach on is this notion of overwhelm. And I hear it all the time. If only I had more time. If I had more time, I could work out. I could prepare my meals better. I could declutter my closet. I could have coffee with friends. I could take that little getaway. I could meditate. I could start that book. I could enroll in that course. I could take a walk. I could just be friends. Time is not the problem. It's not. And this is the best news ever, because we can't solve for time. Time just is. Time just needs to be found under all the clutter that is currently robbing you from it. Time in doubt, delay, and distraction. Time in finding things that you have misplaced. Time in indecision on what to do. Time without a plan. Time wasted in escaping your feelings, running away, avoiding. We spend a lot of time avoiding our emotions. So what I spent this whole show talking about, it looks like mindless eating, playing on our phones, scrolling social media, Netflix binging, shopping. I want to give you your time back so that you can make your impact and leave your legacy. Is there anything more important? My hope in the mastermind is that I can find you 2+ more hours a day so that you can spend it in alignment with who you are. So a part of this mastermind is going to get really clear on your identity, not just who you are, but who you want to become. And from there, we are going to navigate all of the areas of clutter that are stealing your time, your money, your energy, and your joy. If you're interested, check out my website, www.leahrowling.com/sales, and get on the wait list. I would love to have you in there. Okay, friends, have an incredible rest of your day. And remember, being happy is not the goal. Embracing our humanness is, the good and the mess. And when we can embrace that in ourselves, it is so much easier to embrace it in others. I wish I could say that this was optional. It really isn't. It is our responsibility to ourselves and to others, and it has a ripple effect in our homes and our communities and the world. Go be the ripple. I'll see you next week. Bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.